That's the subject matter of these two chapters in 2 Corinthians. Two entire chapters are given to that subject. Now let's understand what the subject is. The apostle's subject is not tithing. The New Testament doesn't teach tithing from Matthew to Revelation. My subject this morning is not church offerings. That's not what I'm talking about at all. Budgets, raising money. My subject this morning is Paul's subject, and that's liberality, generosity, sharing, giving daily, sharing with others what God has given us, living in a spirit of generosity and giving. This is a subject that all believers understand. I understand giving because everything I have spiritually, materially, physically, God gave me. I've never earned anything I have. I've never deserved or merited anything I have. Every good gift and perfect gift cometh down from the Father. Paul said, what do you have that you didn't receive? Who maketh you to differ? Now, if you received it, if it was a gift, if it came down from God, undeserved, unmerited, unearned, why do you boast as if you had something to do with it? Wherein do you differ? Who makes you to differ? A man, our Lord said to his disciples, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. That's what I'm talking about. Literally, truthfully, by the grace of God, I am what I am. So this is a subject we understand. We understand giving. Because the Lord has given us so much. And our Lord taught his disciples this. Let me read you that verse that I read a moment ago from Luke 6. That's the reason I read it. Our Lord was teaching his disciples. And he said to them in verse 36 of Luke 6, be ye merciful as your Father is merciful. Judge not that you be not judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. And give. Give. And it shall be given you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give into your bosom. If you can learn and acquire the spirit of giving. Over in Matthew 25, he said this. Our Master said in Matthew 25 to his people when he was receiving them into heaven. This is when all things are done. And in Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, then shall the King, King of kings, Lord of lords, our Master, then shall the King say to them on his right hand, come ye blessed. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He's talking to all of the elect, every one of the elect. I was hungry, and you gave me. I was hungry, and you gave. You gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave. You gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. And then shall all these elect, these righteous people, who never take any credit for what they do, they said, Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you or thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and took you in or naked and clothed you? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and came to you? And the King shall say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it, unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. So, our Lord taught his disciples this lesson of giving. And we'll find in these two chapters, if the Lord will give me some understanding so that I can be a good teacher, we'll find in these chapters all we need to know about the grace and joy, privilege of giving. Everything we need to know. So let's look at verse 1 of chapter 8. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth about the churches in Macedonia. He said, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit." That is, I write to inform you, to make known to you, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. That's in the Philippi region where Paul was called to preach to those people. He's saying to this church at Corinth, he says, "I want to inform you, I want to make known to you the grace of God which was bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, arousing in them love for others and a desire to give and to help others. Their generosity and their liberality is the result of God working in them." Verse 2, "How that in great affliction," great trial of affliction, "the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounding unto the riches of their liberality," their generosity. That's what we're talking about, generosity, liberality. These churches in Macedonia, Paul said, "I want to tell you about the grace of God that's been given to them in giving them a love for other people and a willingness to share what God has given them. Their generosity, their liberality, is the result of God working in them, God's grace working in them." And verse 2 tells us, "Although they were in trial of affliction," they themselves were in great trial, "and in the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty," Paul says they didn't have much, but this didn't prevent them from giving and sharing what they did have. I want to tell you about the grace of God that was bestowed upon these people in Macedonia, that even though they were in great trial of affliction, I want to tell you about the abundance of their joy and their grace, even in their poverty, they were liberal, they were generous, they shared with others, even in their poverty. I heard a man say one time, speaking of another man, he said, "Well, he's more able to give than I am." And the preacher was talking to said, "Say that again, just exactly like you said." Well, he said, "I said, he's more able to give than I am." And this very wise man replied, "That's not so. He's not more able to give. He's able to give more than you, but he's not more able to give, because the ability to give is grace. It's not material. This church here had an ability to give, but they didn't have much. They were in trial. They were in poverty. And yet they gave. They were liberal. They were generous. Our ability to give is grace. Grace enables us. Our ability to love is grace. Our ability to believe is grace. Our ability to give is grace. It's not the amount we have. It's not the supplies that we have. It's not the abundance we have. It's the will, the desire, the spirit of giving." So when you say he's more able to give than I, no, he isn't. He's able to give more. He has more of supplies. But he's not more able to give. The ability to give is the grace of God in the heart. That's what Paul is saying about this church. "Brethren, I want you to know about the grace of God. The grace of God that was bestowed on these churches in Macedonia, that even in their trial and in their poverty, they demonstrated the joy and grace of God in liberality." That's what I'm talking about. That's what Paul's talking about. For verse 3, he said, "For to their power I bear record." What's that word power? It's ability. He's saying this. He's saying to their ability. They gave Yea, and beyond their ability, they gave sacrificially. To their power, to their ability, they gave what they had. They gave what they had to give. Shared with these other needy believers. They gave what they had, and they gave beyond what they had. Beyond their ability, they gave sacrificially. And listen, and they were willing to do it. They gave to their power, their ability. I bear record, yea, they gave beyond their ability sacrificially, and they were willing to do it. No, they weren't told to do it. They weren't commanded to do it. They did it because they wanted to. They were willing, listen, of themselves, from themselves, motivated within their own spirits and stuff. They gave because they wanted to. They weren't following somebody's example. They weren't following somebody's orders. They weren't following somebody's commandment. They're trying to match another group of people. Of themselves. The grace of God in their hearts motivated them of themselves to their power and beyond. They gave willingly. And verse 4, they brought the gifts to me, Paul said, praying me, us, the apostles, praying us with much entreaty, much persuasion, that we would take their gifts and take upon ourselves the fellowship of ministering these gifts. He says, these churches brought their gifts to me, to us, to the apostles, and begged us, prayed us, entreated us to assume the responsibility of taking it where it's needed, giving it to needy believers, sharing it with other churches. They insisted that we take it. Isn't that something? Grace of God in their hearts made them generous and liberal, wanted to help other people, motivated them of their power, beyond their power. They gave willingly of themselves, originated with them. They came and said, take this and give it to those out there that need it. Would you do that? Would you do that? And verse 5 said, this they did, not as we hope. What does that mean, not as we hope? Their gifts were not what we expected. It was a whole lot more. I didn't expect that, Paul said. Well, they were in trial themselves. They were in poverty. I didn't expect that. More than I hope. Not like I hope. More than I hope. But here's the key. And this they did, not as we hoped, but far beyond what we expected. And here's the key. They first gave themselves, their own selves, to the Lord. What's this implying? Well, they gave themselves to the Lord, to His care, trusting Him to provide for them, resting in the fact that He would supply their needs, that they couldn't outgive Him. That what they gave, God would supply. And no matter what they gave or how much they gave, God, if they gave it for His glory and the good of others, God would supply their needs. That's what He's saying. This is what they did. They first gave themselves to God. Like Abraham of old walking up that mountain with Isaac, he said, my son, he laid a foundation for every believer for eternity, for the years to come. Here it is. My son, God will provide. God will provide. Yep, that's talking about a lamb. Yeah, He provides our food, our clothing, our shelter, our happiness, our comfort. He'll provide everything else. God will provide. Jehovah said, Kenu, God will provide. And that's what these people did. They first gave themselves to the Lord. Their provider, their supplier, their keeper. My God, Paul said, my God shall supply all your need. All your need according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. No little rat needs to worry about having enough to eat when there's a silo out there beside the barn. And this little rat doesn't need to worry about what we're going to eat, drink, and wear, as long as God Almighty has His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. They gave themselves to the Lord. And then, They gave themselves unto us. They gave what they had to us, to our disposal, by the will of God. In so much, verse 6, in so much, because of this example of this church, in so much that I desired Titus. Paul had some fellows that were awful close to him, Timothy, Titus, Luke. In so much that I desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would finish in you the same grace also. Titus, Paul beheld example of this church, these churches in Macedonia, the grace of God in them, the generosity, liberality that God had had enabled them to demonstrate. He said, Titus, go down there to Corinth. Go down there to Corinth. I know you've begun down there. I know you're their teacher. I know you've been their teacher. And I know you've taught these things to them. You've begun. But go down there and finish this grace. Go down there and perfect it. Go down there and finish it. Go down there and stress it again, that these people might be exercised in grace and liberality and generosity like these people in Macedonia. Go down there and finish the work. That he would, insomuch when I saw this take place in Macedonia, I desired Titus that he had hastened down to Corinth as he had begun, and he would finish in you. Now this is a grace in you, in us. Grace grows. Faith grows. Love grows. Patience, humility. Everything grows in a believer. A believer is born a babe and he's a young man, an elder. He grows. And I want you to go down there and stress this, that our generosity and liberality needs to grow just like any other grace. This grace, finish in you, perfect in you, bring to maturity in you that liberality and generosity demonstrated by these people. Therefore, look at verse 7. Now, here's what I want you to do. Paul uses several words in these two chapters having to do with this grace of giving. And the first word he uses is grace. It's a grace. And either underscore the word or write it in the margin of your Bible. It's already there, but just underscore it or make some mark. Verse 7. Therefore, he says to the church at Corinth, as you abound, you excel, you're full of everything, faith, you're people who believe God and the gospel, and you're people who have utterance, you have some good preachers down there, good teachers, people know the gospel, knowledge, you know the Bible, you study the Word of God, you know God, you're bound, you excel in diligence, you're hard workers, you're faithful. You're bound in your love to us. You love us. I know that. You love the gospel. You love the people of God. You love the gospel. See that you're bound in this grace. Underscore that grace. Giving's a grace. See that you excel and grow and abound in the grace of generosity. In the grace of helping others. To believe and to love and to preach the gospel. That's a grace. But to be generous, day by day with your children, with your fellow worker, with your people who labor for you, with one another, with other believers, with hungry people and weary people and old people, generosity and liberality and goodness to others is a grace that must grow. See that you excel. You're good preachers, students of the Word, you believe God. But this is a grace that needs to excel and grow. And then the second word is found in verse 8. Now I speak not by commandment. Not by commandment. I'm not commanding you to give anything, share anything. That would kill it. God doesn't give us laws to determine how much we give or when we should give or to whom we should give. But there's one chief motive for everything. I speak not by commandment, But by the occasion and example of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. There's the word, L-O-V-E, love. Commandments have a place. Commandments have a place in everybody's life. Thou shalt not, and thou shalt. They're necessary. Example certainly motivates us and encourages us and blesses us. Gratitude to God for what we have is a good motivation. But the sincerest motivation for any act of liberality or generosity or giving is because you love somebody. For God so loved, he gave. That's the reason. That's the reason Christ came. That's the reason Christ died. That's the reason Christ suffered. Because he loved. Because he loved. Look at verse 9. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The generosity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was rich, but for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might be rich. How can I, who am so loved, not love? How can I, who am so loved, not love? How can I, who have been the object of such grace and goodness, not be gracious and not be liberal? How can I? His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth and giveth and giveth again. That's our example. Love. God loved us. And our generosity and giving must be motivated by love. Verse 11. Now therefore perform the doing of it. That as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if there be first a willing mind. I know that, and I've experienced it before, getting some static from people when I insist that tithing's not taught in the New Testament. It's not. It's not for New Testament. It's not for believers. In the Old Testament, tithing was a law. It was a law pressed upon an unregenerate, unwilling people. Israel was an unregenerate people, an unwilling people. They had a tabernacle to support. They had the whole tribe of Levi had no property. All 11 tribes had property and all these things. The tribe of Levi had no assigned property. They took care of the things of God. The whole tribe, from that tribe came the priest and the high priest and all these folks. They kept the storehouse. They took care of the needy, took care of the sick, took care of sacrifices, took care of all the Passover, all these things. And Israel, the whole, all other 11 tribes gave 10% to support these priests and tabernacle, the storehouse, the needy, all these things. That was a law and a tax imposed upon Israel. But we're not under such a law anymore in keeping the Sabbath day or sacrificing lambs or doing these. So we're not under such a law. The Lord tells us that we're to give from a willing heart. There must first be a willing heart. And thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Chapter 2 of Philippians. And I'll show you some more scripture on that in a few moments. But chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 13. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. God works in us not only to do his pleasure, but to want to will to. He makes us willing to believe. He makes us willing to follow the word. He makes us willing. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And that's what Paul said about the church at Macedonia. I want to tell you about the grace of God that's operative in those people, making them willing to do this and giving them the will and desire to do this. So giving is a grace motivated by love, and it springs from a willing heart. If we give or do or worship or anything and pray in the name of God, and it doesn't spring from a willing, loving, cheerful spirit, it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable to God. Anything a person does in the name of God, in the name of Christ, that's not done willingly and lovingly is unacceptable. God won't have it. That first be a willing spirit. Willing spirit. Now here's another word to underscore. The word willing and then the word, it's accepted according to that a man hath. Not according to that he hath not. It's what he has. It's accepted according to what we have, not according to what we have not. Our gifts are not measured by the size of them or the amount of them, but the love that motivates them. Doris received in the mail this last week. I wish I'd have brought it. Thought about bringing it. I don't know what the ladies call them. A little thing about this size, a little bigger, to put on the table, doilies or something y'all call it, something you put on the table. But it was handmade by one of the native preachers' wives in Mexico. They have dirt floors. They don't have an abundance of anything. They have dirt floors and sit on boxes and sleep in hammocks and cook on rocks. And they have practically nothing. But she made three of these, hand-stitched, embroidered, bordered around them, hours of work, in bright, colorful Mexican thread. Made one for Brother Cody Gruber's wife, one for Brother Pledger's wife, and one for Doris. And sent it up here. Now that gift, there's no way to estimate the value of that gift. If sold at a flea market, it'd bring very little. But our gifts to God and in His name are not measured by the size of them, or the amount of them, or the value of them to other people. It's the love that gives it. It's accepted according to what a man has and not what he has not. And this does away with pledges. Don't you ever sign a pledge to give anything next year. You don't have next year. You might be broke tomorrow. You give what you have right now. Don't you make a promise or sign a contract with a church or organization or anything else. It's accepted. It comes first with a willing mind. It's accepted what a man hath, not what he has not. Our children don't have much. But I tell you, their little Christmas gifts thrill me as much as any Christmas gift anybody gives me. And if they're meaningful and they're precious because they give what they have. And they need to be taught to be givers, not takers, all the time. Learn the grace and the joy of giving. Our Lord says it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's a lot more fun to give. Whatever it is we have, to give. It's accepted according to what we have. And verse 13, now here's 14, is the word equality. I want to substitute that word with the word everyone. Now let me read verse 13. I don't mean I mean not that other men be eased and you burden. Giving not just for people that have a lot. Giving and liberality and generosity is for all of us. Everybody. Everybody. But by an equality. That now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be an equality. Turn to 1 Corinthians 16. Here's the word. 1 Corinthians 16. Paul talking about the collection, the church collection. He does talk about that here in this 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now concerning the collection for the saints, for missionaries and other people, as I've given orders to the churches at Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week. Let every one of you, that's pastor, students, old, young, rich, poor, adults, children, married, single, widows, whomever, every one of you, give. Lay by in store as God hath prospered you, that there be no offerings taken when I come down there to preach. Do it yourself. Don't wait on me to come down there and take up a collection. You do it yourself. But isn't anybody exempt from giving? I'll give you the answer to that. Turn to Luke 21. Luke 21. Luke 21, verse 1 through 4. And our Lord and His disciples were watching the people bring their offerings, their gifts, to the treasury. These were back in the storehouse tithing days. This was back in the days of Old Testament, because our Lord hadn't gone to the cross and a lot of things. He was still under law. Still, He was Himself keeping the Passover. And He looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury, and He saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And He said, of a truth, I say unto you, this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of the Lord, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living she had. He didn't exempt her from giving, but rather our Lord Jesus Christ commended her giving. Commended her giving. No one should be robbed of the joy and blessing of giving. No matter what someone brings you, a gift, regardless of what it is, how small or whatever, receive it with thanksgiving. No one should be robbed of the joy and the grace and the blessing of sharing what they have. Our young people, our old people, our widows, anyone else. Every one of you. This is a grace for everybody. All right, back to my text. Give me a few more minutes. Verse 15, is it written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, he that gathered little had no lack. This is from Exodus 16, refers to the manna that fell from heaven that was on the ground. Some gathered much and some gathered little, but they shared what they had, nobody lacked. Some gathered little, some gathered much. See that? But they all shared. He that had gathered much, verse 15, had nothing left over, and he that gathered little had no lack. Now thanks be unto God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. Now let's go to chapter 9. Let me show you another word. Well, down here in verse 19 is one that I missed. Now this is a key. Verse 19, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, with this offering, with these gifts, which is ministered by us to the glory of the same Lord. And declaration of your ready mind. The word glory, what we do is not for our glory, it's for His glory and His praise. His glory. The giving of it, the dispensing of it, the sharing of it. Now, here's the word in chapter 9, verse 7, that does away with the teaching of Old Testament tithing. You underscore this word. Every man, every person who gives, according as he purposeth, there's the word, purposeth. He purposeth in his heart, so let him give. He's not told a percentage, amount, as he purposes in his heart. This, you see, here's where all matters of faith and grace are settled, in the heart, as he purposes in his heart. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. When that fellow wanted to be baptized, Philip said to him, do you believe with all your heart? He said, I do. Keep thy heart out of it of the issues of life. My son, give me your heart, God says. So let everybody here, in this matter of liberality, generosity, what you pay people, what you give people, how you treat people, your gifts to the church, to your neighbors, to your friends, that's settled right here, as you purpose in your own heart. Based on grace, love, willingness, my own heart. Not law, not duty, not necessity. Read that rest of that. Every man as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. So let him share. So let him, not grudgingly. I don't want to do this, but. Or of necessity. Hear people say you can't go to heaven if you don't tithe. That's not so. The thief on the cross never paid a tithe. Never did. Abraham never paid one either, did he? I don't know. He gave it to the king of Salem, didn't he? As he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly, not of necessity, God loves a cheerful giver. We say to people, if you need anything, let me know. They'll never let you know. Go ahead and give it. If you need anything, let me know. Don't ask. Purpose in your own heart. And don't rationalize. Don't say, well, I can afford it or can't afford it. If God lays it on your heart, give it. Because, verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound in every good work. God will provide. God will provide. God is able to give you all you need. So that's where giving, it's a grace. It's born of God. It's based on love and a willing heart. According to what a man has, not what he doesn't have. As he purposes in his heart, so let him give. May God finish in us this grace also. Liberality. All right, let's sing a closing hymn.